Well, tonight we begin looking at the Holy Spirit. I have here written as an introduction, at one and the same time, a consideration of the Holy Spirit as one of the most neglected and abused theological topics. Now, that sounds almost like a contradiction. How can it be both neglected and abused? But it is because of that abuse that I think it's neglected. It is because of the abuses and the controversies that surround the theology of the Holy Spirit that the topic is often avoided in evangelical circles. While tomes have been written concerning Jesus Christ, relatively little has been written concerning the person and work of the Holy Spirit. If you would simply do a Google search on books, you would find just a ton of things on the person and work and ministry of Jesus Christ. But comparatively, you would find little written on the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is studied, at least today, the study usually focuses upon the controversies surrounding the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues. Certainly the modern books, that is what usually the fare is. However, our focus will be upon the person and work of the Holy Spirit in his entirety. When I say his entirety, we certainly cannot speak of the person of the Holy Spirit exhaustively. However, I do want us to consider the person of the Holy Spirit holistically and comprehensively. Meaning, I want us to understand more of the relationship of the Trinity. And so as we think about the person of the Holy Spirit, the interaction of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and a fuller view of the ministry of the Holy Spirit than simply the baptism or the speaking in tongues or even spiritual gifts in general. We want to avoid the pitfalls of both sensationalizing and trivializing the person of the Holy Spirit. So we don't want to sensationalize and make the Holy Spirit something that he is not, nor do we want to downplay or minimize the work of the Holy Spirit. Our purpose and aim will be to foster a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is vital to our spiritual well-being. We will begin our study with a consideration of the person of the Holy Spirit and move to a consideration of the work of the Holy Spirit. Today, our emphasis will be on the relationship of the coming of the Holy Spirit to the departure of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is sent to continue the relationship to and ministry of the Godhead in the life of God's people. We might say that he was and is given in order to continue the ministry of Jesus, but it is really the ministry of the Godhead. As God sent his Son, the Son sends the Spirit. So the key verses are John 13:33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." So we want to unpack that idea this evening, that he will give another helper that will be with us forever. Then verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." There are five passages in the book of John which speak of the Holy Spirit as a paraclete, from the Greek parakletos, which literally means one called alongside. The word paraclete is variously rendered in Bible translations as counselor, helper, advocate, or comforter. All of those words are words that are used to interpret what is meant by one that is called alongside. It is used once in reference to Jesus in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does not sin, we have an advocate," that is our word parakletos, "with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." All other references are to the Holy Spirit. John 14:16, "I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. John 14, 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So our theme tonight is the ministry of the Holy Spirit is directly related to Christ's departure. The Holy Spirit will take the place of Jesus in Jesus' absence. Now, that is an overstatement. When I say that he is going to take Jesus' place, certainly he does not supplant Jesus. It is not as though Jesus is no longer an important figure in the Scriptures or that we do not have a relationship to Jesus. But what I'm saying to you is that the emphasis after the death and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ is on the work of the Holy Spirit. He continues the ministry of Jesus. So note, first of all, that it is not merely the fact that a helper will come, but it will be another helper. John 14, 16. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. And then I put that in the NAS, another helper, NIV, another counselor, and King James, another comforter. All of these different interpretations of what is meant by paraclates. Another paraclete in the context of Jesus' departure implies that the disciples already have a paraclete, namely Jesus, who is departing. You see, the one that is called alongside is what I'm emphasizing tonight. And as Jesus departs, and he is no longer, quote, with his disciples, he sends another to be with them, namely the Holy Spirit. So that now that Jesus is departing, the Holy Spirit will play a similar role that Jesus played in the life of his disciples while he was on the earth. Unlike Jesus, who is departing the disciples to be with the Father, the Holy Spirit will never leave his disciples. John 14, 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And yes, that he may be with you forever. Verse 16, to be with you forever. NIV, and verse 16, that he may abide with you forever. Now, there is a sense, of course, that the Spirit of Christ is with us. The Scripture tells us that where two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst. But his presence is quite dissimilar to his presence when he was with the disciples walking this earth. We cannot touch Jesus today. We cannot feel Jesus today. We cannot sense his presence today. We know that he is with us by faith, but there is no empirical way. None of our five senses can perceive Jesus' presence. Our eyes, our ears, our taste, our smell, we know he is here by faith. That is the only way that we know that Jesus is here, so that he is with us in a far, far different way than he was with his disciples. To replace his being with us as he was with the disciples, he gives us the Holy Spirit. Now you say, well, that's odd because we cannot touch, taste, feel, etc., the Holy Spirit as well. That is true. But let me unpack what I mean for that, not only tonight, but also in the weeks that lie ahead. Unlike Jesus, who had been with his disciples, the Holy Spirit will be in his disciples. John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells with you and will be in you. I will talk in weeks to come about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But what I want to emphasize tonight as a foundation is when we talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it's talking to us in spatial terms as a metaphor. As a metaphor. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, even as Jesus is omnipresent. So when it talks about his being in us, it's really talking about a relationship that we have to the Holy Spirit that is unique. It is a personal relationship that we have to the Holy Spirit that wasn't known by those saints that lived prior to the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's not a difference in the person of the Holy Spirit, but there's a difference in the way in which he moves and ministers after the death and resurrection of Christ than prior to the death and resurrection of Christ. Application. Number one, the Holy Spirit is distinct from the person of Christ. We must avoid all views of modalism. I'll talk about that more next week. Modalism is a concept of one God existing in three forms. So that in modalism, God the Father becomes God the Son, who becomes God the Holy Spirit. That's heresy. That's wrong. That's not what it is. That's why ice, steam, and water are not good analogies of the Trinity. It's a good analogy of modalism, but it's not a good analogy of the Trinity. For it is not God the Father who becomes God the Son, who then becomes God the Holy Spirit, but God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit have existed for eternity. They are three distinct persons forming one Godhead. So three persons, one God. That's the concept of the Trinity. I'll unpack more of that next week. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a power, a force, an influence, or an it. Much more will be said concerning this next week. Three, we're to develop a personal relationship to the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. So we are to develop a relationship to the Holy Spirit. This will be our emphasis throughout this series, how to foster that personal relationship to the Holy Spirit and why it is so vital to develop that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. So tonight we focus in on this particular aspect, the departure of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. The departure of Jesus is to the enrichment of the disciples. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage that I am leaving you. The relationship that the disciples will have to the Holy Spirit is better than the relationship that they had to Jesus. Here is an understanding of the progressive nature of our relationship to God from the Old Testament to the New Testament to eternity. We should not be longing for the, quote, good old days when the disciples were able to walk the earth with Jesus. They and we understand much more than they did at that time. They and we have a much more intimate relationship to God with the giving of the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying to you tonight is, it is better for us to be living this day in which the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a paraclete than it was to be living at the time that Jesus walked the face of this earth. That's what Jesus taught. It is to your advantage that I go away. Something better is coming. Something more intimate. Something of greater worth and value. I say that because people have a tendency to underestimate what a privilege and value it is that we live in the present day and age that we do. What people long for, I think, is a physical manifestation of the presence of God, such as in the Old Testament, you had the pillar of fire by night, the cloudy pillar by day, and people would know that they are being led by God because he would go before them. He would move, and they would follow him. Today, we don't see a cloudy pillar. We don't see a fiery pillar, but we are still led, the scripture teaches us, by the Holy Spirit. Although we cannot see him, touch him, taste him, feel him. So we want to figure out then, well, just how does he do that? But he leads each of us individually and is with us all the time, which was not true of the cloudy pillar by day, nor the fiery pillar by night, and was not even true concerning Jesus. There were many people, many disciples of Jesus that did not have the privilege of following him around. Pastor Clyde mentioned this morning in John chapter 11 how when Lazarus fell sick, Jesus was not present. They sent word to him, Mary and Martha, wanting him to come. But he intentionally waited 2 days for Lazarus to die because he loved Lazarus. My point is, he wasn't there. Physically, bodily, he wasn't there. There were many times when Jesus sent out his disciples, he wasn't there. Physically, bodily, his presence was not there. But we have consistently, always, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when I'm talking about presence, and I'm moving ahead because I've kind of gotten myself into a bind here in my own thinking as I'm rambling on, but we need to remember that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit comes upon people, then departs, etc., etc. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit left the earth, or that the Holy Spirit is transient, or any of those kinds of things. When I talk about Jesus not being physically present, I think we all know, hope we know, that the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, the Son of God. I probably shouldn't have gone down this road, but I started. Okay. The second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, Jesus, is not eternal. The Son of God is. Jesus was born. Prior to his birth, Jesus didn't exist. God, the Son, existed. The human part of Jesus did not exist at that point. He became a man. He became something that he wasn't. He took on an addition to what he was. So that in his earthly ministry, in his omnipresence, we can talk about Jesus always being with his disciples. But when we talk about him in his bodily form, he was only in one place at one time. Are you with me? I'm kind of sorry I did that, but let's move on. Okay. C. Go to B. I'm on page 5. B. The coming of the Holy Spirit is facilitated by the departure of Jesus. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. The coming of the Holy Spirit necessitated the departure of Jesus. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go, for if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. What in the world does that mean, and why did Jesus say that? The thought is not that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are unable, for unarticulated metaphysical reasons, to simultaneously minister to God's people or any such strange notion. In other words, Jesus isn't saying, I have to die in order for the Holy Spirit to manifest himself. No, that's not what he's saying at all. Rather, the thought is theological. The work of the Holy Spirit is predicated upon the death, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the crux of what I want to drive home tonight. And it's the crux of what made me move on in this never-ending series that it seems I was doing on the atonement. Because it is the continuation. The Holy Spirit is going to apply the atoning work of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is going to now make available to us all that Jesus accomplished for us in his death and his burial and his resurrection. So he's saying, I have to go. I have to die in order for this Holy Spirit to minister to you in the way in which he's going to minister. The blessings of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So, top of page 6, the Holy Spirit will apply and continue the work of Jesus. Here's an important element in understanding the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. There is a progression in the Scriptures. There is a redemptive progression. The Bible is not cyclical. The Bible is linear. It starts and it ends. It begins with creation. Now, I'm not talking about the beginning of God. God always existed. But the story begins with creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how the Bible starts. The Bible ends with a new heaven and new earth. Now, it goes on forever and ever. But the story, you see, has a beginning. It's creation, and it has an end, which is the new creation. And God has a purpose that he is working out. Before the foundations of the earth, God had purpose to save a people. Before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ was slain. God had it all planned out. It was a done deal. It was going to be accomplished. But in this plan of God, you see, now we move into phase 3, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit was always at work, including in the Old Testament, but now is at work in a much more demonstrative way. So number four, in the departure of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will not glorify himself, but rather glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit will do this by furthering and applying the work of Jesus. So let me now just put a slightly different spin on what I told you just a matter of minutes ago. And that was that the reason we don't have a lot written on the Holy Spirit is because of the controversies that surround the teaching concerning Jesus, namely the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues. That is true to a degree. But there's a second reason, and that is that the Holy Spirit came to not glorify himself, but to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is central in our worship. The scripture focuses our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture does not focus our attention on the Holy Spirit. So we have Philippians chapter 2, for example. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and gave him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee would bow, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It was the intention of God the Father to exalt the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to exalt the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Holy Spirit is going to enable us to do is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. He is going to help us comprehend Jesus Christ. He is going to help us believe in Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit focuses our attention upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it should not surprise us that when we think about the Trinity and we think about what is written concerning the Trinity, that most has been written about the second member of the Trinity, the Son, and then the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice John 16, 8 and 14. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. All three of which are directly related to the ministry of the Lord Jesus. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He pointed out the way. He declared the truth. He is the one who has obtained for us eternal life. Now, the Spirit of Truth, that is one of the many, many titles of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of Truth comes. He will guide you in all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus said that he declared the Father. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are not my words, but they are the words of the Heavenly Father. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus came to reveal the Father. The Holy Spirit comes to reveal Jesus, so that we can understand who Jesus is. Think with me on the New Testament examples that are many, in which we read in the Gospels how they did not understand about the resurrection. They didn't understand about Jesus until their eyes were opened after the resurrection. And then all of a sudden they understand. All of a sudden they get it. All of a sudden it makes sense to them. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. He reveals to us Jesus. John 16:14, ESV. He will glorify me, for he'll take what is mine and declare it to you. NAS translates that, shall disclose it to you. NIV, making it known to you. All of these different words trying to convey what is a rather pregnant word that gives birth to a lot of different meanings. What it's trying to say is that the Holy Spirit is going to give us the ability to understand who Jesus is. That has implications from the first regeneration, so that we have life. He is going to regenerate us. He is going to give us the ability to comprehend the scriptures, illumination, inspiration, all kinds of things come out of that. But tonight I just want this simple thought. He is making Jesus known to us. We understand who Jesus is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. He creates that faith within us. He creates that understanding within us. So the conclusion, the Holy Spirit applies the work of Jesus' redemption. B, the Holy Spirit gives life to those for whom Christ died. Here's the continuation of our series. You see, God the Father sent Jesus to die for those that were given to him by the Father. That was John 17, verse 3. Now we find that the Holy Spirit gives life to those for whom Christ died. It is a continuation of this great redemptive plan of God. The Holy Spirit ministers to those given to Jesus by the Father. We are to see the progressive work of salvation. We didn't have ministry music tonight. We had a few things that we don't normally do, and so I have 10 minutes left. I don't usually open it for questions, but I probably made this a little confusing tonight. So if there's something hanging out there that doesn't make sense, here's a chance. Any questions or comments that you have about what I said tonight? Our Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that ministry of revealing Jesus to us. Lord, I pray that we would understand more about Jesus, more about his redemptive work, more about what he has accomplished for us as a result of reflecting upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, our Father, that the Holy Spirit draws our attention, our worship, to the person of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for that work of the Holy Spirit that strives with us, that convicts us, teaches us, reproves us, gives us understanding. Oh Lord, may we not grieve or quench the work of the Holy Spirit, but may we be filled with his Spirit. May we delight in learning your truth. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.